This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. In this hour, funding our K-12 public schools. Next Tuesday, the Onalaska School District is asking voters for permission to exceed state-imposed revenue limits by $1.1 million next school year, another $1.4 million the following year, and $1.7 million in 3 years. School officials say the money is needed to maintain programs in the school district. It's the third time since 2002 that Onalaska has asked voters to pay more in property taxes to help with the budget. Onalaska School Superintendent John Burnett and Referendum Steering Committee Chair Tom Brewer spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCullum about the implications of the referendum's outcomes. Superintendent Burnett began by outlining the challenges facing Onalaska schools.
This is a situation where certainly Onalaska finds itself facing revenue issues similar to many other school districts. I think we're looking at a situation where over 71% of the school districts in the state of Wisconsin have found it necessary to go to their local taxpayers and ask for permission, and that's really what it comes down to, is asking for permission to exceed the revenue cap. In our case, it's about maintaining existing programs and services. We went to our community back in October. We can talk about a little bit of that in the future, but in October, we asked our community, what is it that you see in terms of our educational programs? What's the level of satisfaction? Is there anything there that you would like us to cut, eliminate, or reduce in the future? And the answer from the community was that they expressed 91% overall satisfaction with our educational programs, 90% satisfied with the direction the district was heading. And it really comes down to the fact that the only way that we're going to be able to maintain those programs and services is with a successful referendum.
And talking with other parents, Tom, can you tell me what sort of the response has been from people in Onalaska as far as this goes? Does it match the survey results?
Well, yes, and we're finding that there's a lot of interest in this, obviously, because it does affect the school tax rate. But once people understand that our school district has done a good job fiscally, and by that, how you compare school districts is looking at the cost per pupil. And when you compare the cost per pupil in the school district of Onalaska, according to the Wisconsin Taxpayer Alliance, we're actually lower than 70% of the school districts in the state. So every once in a while I hear, well, it's time for the school districts to start tightening their belts like the rest of the economy has and the rest of the population. But the school district has been fiscally sound with our dollars. And you pair the cost per pupil with other examples. For example, energy savings. Our school district has put into place a program that over the past 4 years has saved over $1 million in energy costs. And if you also take a look at our school tax rate compared to our neighbors, in Onalaska we're significantly lower. So that's where our team has been getting that information out. And once people understand those numbers and take a look at not only the numbers but the success rate with our school district, our graduation rates compared to state averages are significantly higher, our college entrance exams are significantly higher, and the proficiency testing that our students take in various grades really show that our school district is doing a great job with our kids. So that's what it comes down to once again. It is about choice, and it is about the kids of Onalaska and the strength of our community. The citizens of Onalaska have been very receptive and very inquisitive in our meetings.
So have you been able to break it down? You know, in the first year, there would be $1.1 million for the 2011-2012 school year. What exactly is that money going towards?
Well, first of all, I think we have to go back to our referendum in 2006. At that point, the community gave us an additional $500,000 a year for 5 years. This is the last year that $500,000 is available, and that has been built into our budget to maintain the programs that we currently have. So of that $1.1 million, first of all, $500,000 is needed simply to stay where we are. The other thing to point out is that when we went to the voters back in 2006, we realized that the $500,000 probably would only allow us to get through the first 3 years in order to maintain existing programs and services. The last 2 years, we found ourselves having to make significant cuts in the area of technology, in the area of curriculum resources, and in some cases in the area of building maintenance in order to be able to maintain existing programs and staffing. So when you look at the referendum, with the $1.1 million, $500,000 needs to basically deal with what is already there. That leaves an additional $600,000. Of that, the first $300,000 is being used to go back into building maintenance, computer technology, and curricular resources. And then we're down to the last 300,000, and typically that's the gap that we see between the cost of doing business, the rising cost of inflation, and the need to maintain existing programs. So 1.1 million, 500,000 to replace the 500,000 that are currently there, 300,000 technology, curriculum resources, building maintenance, and then 300,000 to be able to maintain programs.
And back in 2006, you had it outlined that you'd be updating the Irving Perch Elementary School, you know, school building improvements, like you said, and maintaining operations at their current level. Were you able to achieve that with the money that was allotted?
Absolutely. If you're a resident of Onalaska, I think people understand that we did a very nice job of refurbishing. We didn't do a brand new building, but we refurbished Irving Perch Elementary School, and the people that have been a part of that, I think, take a great deal of pride of how that building turned out. We also asked for an additional $4 million to deal with heating, ventilating, air conditioning, and as Tom just mentioned, much of that was used to help with energy savings during the past 4 years. And the final part of that referendum was the $500,000 that we needed to deal with the existing revenue caps at that time. The important part about that referendum is that we tried to put together a referendum that would allow voters to support it without seeing an increase in their taxes. And again, when we say we asked for $500,000 for 5 years, we realized that was not going to be enough money to get us through the next 5 years. But it was so important to have a successful referendum that we felt it was important to give voters that window of opportunity to be able to vote yes without an increase in taxes. Unfortunately, that's not the situation we find ourselves in this time.
And what about how this will affect, you know, the average homeowner in Onalaska? Obviously, this would be raising people's property taxes. I don't know if you want to speak to per $100,000 per home or per $1,000.
Yeah, that's usually the norm. When you're taking a look at a property value of $100,000, the taxes will go up the first year $45, and then the second year an additional $36, and then the third year an additional $38. So on a $100,000 property value, that 3 year total is going to be $245. But if you take a look at how that affects the school tax rate, that will increase our tax rate over the 3 years, but we should be significantly lower than, once again, than our neighbors in that rate. So it is an increase, but it's one that, once again, is needed. And you talked about, Maureen, how's that going to affect the average household. There is a dollar side, but there's also I'll call it the human side. And just giving you an example, when I was leaving the house one evening, two of my children are in high school. And one of the choices may be, and I'll emphasize maybe, that the high school might have to go to a 7-period day versus an 8-period day where they're at right now. And my oldest daughter stated, "Dad, you have to help pass this referendum." And I was kind of shocked that she was that in tune to the referendum. But she said, "If I don't have these full 8 periods, I'm not going to be able to get all the courses I need to get into the schools I want to get into once I graduate." And my son also mentioned that he needs a study hall time during the day, that he won't have that ability if they go to a 7-period day, so that he can participate in the sports programs that they have, because he uses that time to study. So there is the human factor that falls into it. The bottom line is there will be programs that would be cut and personnel that would be lost in the school district, and that's the human side of it.
Have you guys talked more specifically about specific programs that would be cut if this weren't to pass?
We have within the district, but once again, when you're dealing with referendums, I don't think people want to be threatened. What we've tried to say is that there's no question that the only way we can maintain what we have is with a successful referendum. What we've tried to compare it to is back in 2002, we had a referendum again where we needed an additional a little over $1 million the first year. And unfortunately, we lost that referendum by 136 votes. Over the next year or so, the board cut $1.8 million from the budget. We ended up laying off 27 individuals. Most of those were teachers. A number of programs went away, international language at the elementary level. Our elementary health instructors were eliminated. The gifted and talented teachers at the high school were eliminated. And unfortunately, most of those programs don't come back. Once those cuts are made, you do find a way to, you have to get on with the other challenges that you're facing. So when we look at the dollar amount that we're dealing with today, what we've tried to say is, again, there is no specific program that we're looking at. We've talked about moving from an 8-period day to a 7-period day at the high school, but the bottom line is if we're forced to cut a little over $1 million, it's going to be staff. There's going to be an increase probably in class size. There's going to be a reduction in programs and services. It truly is going to affect the quality of the school district of Onalaska.
And yeah, beyond the programs and you know, the possibility of moving to a 7-period day, what else would this mean if this didn't pass?
Well, again, I think under the concept of open enrollment, one of the things that school districts have to deal with today is this idea that every February, parents have an opportunity to decide where they want to send their students. The School District of Onalaska is surrounded by outstanding school districts, La Crosse, Holman, West Salem, Bangor. And if we're not able to offer the programs that our parents find attractive, it wouldn't be a huge inconvenience for those parents to take their students to La Crosse, to Holman, Bangor, West Salem. This isn't like northern Wisconsin where you'd have to travel, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles to find another school district. And so with those students, when students leave under open enrollment, the revenue that that student brings into the school district goes with them. So it's beyond simply looking at what happens this year. You have to take a look at what's going to happen in future years if we're not able to offer the programs that parents find attractive to begin with.
That's something I want to talk a bit about. Under the state's revenue limit formula, it gives a certain amount of money per student. And as you were saying, you know, with every new student, you reach a certain amount of money. Can you talk about how, under the state's funding formula, how that does affect the School District of Onalaska?
Well, I think that's one of the problems with the revenue formula. The formula truly benefits those school districts that are growing rapidly. The formula gives you a set dollar amount for existing students in your district, but if you're bringing in brand new students, it's significantly higher. Right now, we're under a situation where for every student that currently is in the School District of Onalaska, at least last year, the dollar amount was about $200 per student. But for brand new students coming in, it can literally amount to $7,000, $8,000 per student. So when you find districts that have rapidly growing enrollment, they're able to typically get by without having the revenue cap have significant impacts on their programs. But if you're a district with stable growth, or slowly growing, and that's where we are, looking at probably 24, 25 students per year over the next 10 years, the revenue cap is not indexed to the cost of providing your existing programs and services.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we're talking about the February 15th Onalaska School Referendum. My guests today are Onalaska School District Superintendent John Burnett and Referendum Steering Committee Chair and Father of Four, Tom Brewer. Tom, I guess I want to talk about your children that are in the district. They range from high school age to the elementary school age.
Correct.
You said your youngest was 5. Can you talk about why you've decided to live in Onalaska, put your children through the school district, and kind of why this referendum means so much to your family? And I don't know if you want to use it as a model for other families in Onalaska.
Well, I mean, that's a good question because when we took a look at Onalaska, when we moved to the area 19 years ago, and we looked at the various communities, and we chose Onalaska. One of the reasons was the school district. And I think a lot of people who move into the city of Onalaska take a look at that. Your school district is a barometer for the rest of the community. And as a resident and a business owner in the community, I look at the school district and say, okay, we've made a good choice here. That's been one of our decisions, and it's been a decision of a lot of the members of the community.
And do you hear that from many other parents, John?
Absolutely. If you live in the School District of Onalaska, many parents know that on Fridays I go out and I do something called 10 at 10, where I meet with 10 citizens, 10 parents. On the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have a group called Village Partnership that comes into the Onalaska Board of Education room. And what we do on those Fridays or on that Tuesday is we ask one question: how are we doing as the School District of Onalaska? We refer to that as our immune system. By listening to people, hopefully it's telling us how we can be better. And as we go around the table at the beginning of those meetings, it's very typical to hear, biggest reason why I chose to move into this community was the School District of Onalaska. I don't know if many people realize that we're one of the smallest school districts in the state geographically. We're 14.13 square miles. I think we're the third or fourth smallest school district. And so when you have that type of a school district, and yet we're close to 3,000 students, parents are making a very conscious choice about where they want to be. And in many cases, they've chosen the School District of Onalaska. And that's why it's so important for us to get the message out that in order to maintain the programs and services that many people were looking at when they made the decision to move here, we're going to have a successful referendum.
I want to look ahead. No one really knows what's going to come about as far as the state budget goes. Have you heard anything from Madison, John, as far as, you know, what the talks are in regards to local school funding? And
well, we haven't heard anything specific, but I think Governor Walker has made it very clear that it's going to be very challenging to balance the budget. And certainly when you look at where expenditures are, a major, major expenditure for the state of Wisconsin is K-12 education. I don't think there's going to be any way that they're going to be able to balance the budget without taking a significant look at what's going on in K-12 education. And above and beyond this revenue situation, we truly expect that there will be significant cuts, probably in the form of the equalized aid that's coming to schools in the next couple of years.
So what does that mean for the money involved in this referendum, if cuts were to come?
Well, I think it's really two separate issues. One issue is dealing with the referendum and being able to maintain the programs and services. What we've been told by Governor Walker is with the additional cuts that may be coming, they're looking for other ways to generate flexibility for school districts, perhaps a reduction in mandates. There may be some areas in terms of negotiations that end up being given to school boards. But the idea would be that with the reductions that are coming down the road, school boards will be given additional flexibility to be able to handle those reductions. I think, again, both sides of the aisle, we've been very fortunate in Wisconsin that people understand and recognize the nature of education. And as we've said so many times, in order for those of us in the public sector to prosper, we need people in the private sector to prosper. And that's this concept. We need to grow the economy. We need for businesses and individuals to be successful. And as their success continues, hopefully that success transfers into more money going into the state coffers. And hopefully the state will be able to then, you know, come back and restore some of the equalized aid that's probably not going to be there over the next couple of years.
What do you do until February 15th? Do you have plans to go door to door?
Well, we've gotten the information out with separate mailings. We've held public forums. We're speaking to a lot of PTOs and other civic groups. Bottom line is we just want people to be available, or our team will be available to answer any questions that may come up. Residents can go to our website, onalaskaschools.com, and there's lots of information on there, and there's contact information, and there's links to the Wisconsin Taxpayer Alliance. So the bottom line is we're here to answer any last-minute questions that may pop up, and we want the voters to do two things. Number one is to go and vote on February 15th, and the second is to be an informed voter, and hopefully we've provided that avenue.
How do you appeal to the voters who don't have children in the school district, you know, maybe those who are older, those on fixed incomes?
An interesting fact, back in October, before the board and the district decided to go to referendum, a survey was put out to the Onalaska community. And there was a significant response, and a key fact were over 61% of the respondents were from households without school-aged children. And that survey stated two different things. Number one, that the residents of Onalaska wanted the school district to maintain the current programs and the high standards that we have. And that's what this referendum is all about. And a majority of those respondents said, go to referendum and we will pay for a strong school district.
57% of your survey results did come back in favor of this referendum.
Absolutely. You know, I think the quality of a school district has a direct impact on home values, the marketability. It certainly allows the business leaders in our community to recruit quality candidates for the businesses. Nobody wants to pay more for taxes. But as educators, we have to be not only an advocate for taxpayers, we also have to be an advocate for the students in our district. Education, I think, always has and will continue to be a major investment in our future. And we hope people understand that, whether they have children in our schools or don't have children in our schools, they understand the importance of that investment and hopefully believe there'll be a return on that investment.
So then what happens after 3 years? Do you see another referendum possibly having to come up, or is there a way to bring the property taxes back down?
Well, that's one of the reasons that we went for 3 years is we do have a new legislature. State Superintendent Evers is talking about a plan called Fair Funding for Our Future. And between the state superintendent, the legislature, everybody is hoping that they're going to be able to come up with a new plan, a formula that takes the burden off of the property taxpayer. What's going to be there 3 years down the road, we're not sure. Whether we'll need additional funding, whether the state's going to be able to come up with some solutions that'll make it easier for property taxpayers, we're not sure. But what we do know is that for the next 3 years, we definitely need the permission of our community in order to be able to maintain what we're currently doing.
John, I want to ask you, you're retiring after this year.
That's correct.
And the superintendent of La Crosse, Dr. Kember, has also announced his retirement. You wanted to dispel the rumor that you are not in on this together. Just, it was a coincidence.
It's definitely a coincidence. I think, again, some people have heard us say a couple of times in the past week that in Wisconsin, many superintendents, their contract states that if you're going to retire, you need to let the board know by the end of January. In my case, this is my 40th year in education. It's been a tremendously rewarding career. But once again, I've got some family that are in other parts of the country. I want to be able to spend some time with my grandchildren. And so it really was time. And I'm going to work as hard as I can for the next week to make sure this information gets out. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can for the next 5 months to make sure that whoever my successor is, they're able to inherit a school district that delivers as best it can and all the promises that we've made to the people who've moved into this community for the school district.
Is there anything else the two of you would like to talk about the referendum?
Well, again, I think it's important that people are informed. This is an informational campaign. We're trying to do our job in getting all the information out there. We think the facts clearly speak for themselves. So again, if people are listening to this program and they have additional questions, they can certainly go to our school district website and get lots of other information. We do have a charter program where they can go to the charter cable TV program for the School District of Onalaska. And last of all, if they would like a phone call, they could call 781-9700, 781-9700, and we will get back to them because we want people to be as informed as they can possibly be by next Tuesday.
John Burnett is superintendent of Onalaska Public Schools. Tom Brewer chairs the referendum steering committee. They spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum. The Onalaska School District's referendum will be held next Tuesday, February 15th. Voters are being asked whether or not to allow the school district to levy an additional $1.1 to $1.7 million in property taxes over the next 3 years to maintain school programs. Coming up in the next half hour, a discussion with Wisconsin's State School Superintendent Tony Evers about his proposal called Fair Funding for Our Future, which is designed to reduce the property tax burden of funding K-12 schools. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.